If you don't live in your truth, then you also don't trust the things around you because you don't even trust yourself because you know you're lying, you know? And then other things get murky along the way.
Entrepreneurs love talking about business. However, it's no secret there's also so many things they love talking about which are not about business. In the Sea of Business podcasts, none of your business is a refreshing break, a surprise kiss, an afternoon fizz. Through Carla Singson's cheeky and radical takes on mundane and principle-heavy topics, you'll gain insights that guarantee you something to talk about on your first Tinder date, while visiting grandma, or if you want to impress your new boss. Big thanks to Proximity Outsourcing for sponsoring this episode. Outsource the most tedious tasks in your business, such as data management, appointment setting, and creatives, for less than $12 an hour, fully managed. Visit ProximityOutsourcing.com for more info. Tired of business podcasts? Tune in to None of Your Business. New episodes weekly.
Hello, 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 and welcome. Happy Monday, everyone. Welcome to another episode of None of Your Business. This is Carla Singson, and once again, I'm taking you to this relaxing, fun, and insightful journey of just talking about things that, you know, riddle us entrepreneurs, things that we think about when we're driving, cooking, in between our tasks in business. And this is a space where you can just entertain other thoughts and other ideas, and we get to talk to other smart entrepreneurs and see what they're thinking about. So for today, we have a special guest. His name is Zachary Babcock, and he is the founder and owner of the Underdog Entrepreneur brand. Zach Babcock grew up in psych wards, rehabs, juveniles, ended over 5 years in prison as an adult, and then earned his first million and scored his family's 3-acre dream home by 33. Wow, that's a lucky number right there. That's basically like 6 years after getting out of prison. So Zach helps alpha entrepreneurs build dominant brands with podcasts by getting shows launched and ranked in 5 weeks or less, and at least 1,000 targeted subscribers in 90 days or less. Now, as a newbie podcaster, this is definitely amazing. And I can tell you guys, I have learned a lot from Zach, and he has definitely been a big inspiration for me to start this podcast. So welcome, Zach. And how are you today?
Hey, I'm doing excellent. And thank you for having me today, Carla. I'm excited to jam with you.
Yeah, Zachary and I met online in like 2017, 2018, something like that. And he is known in this space for having this brand called like Underdog Entrepreneur, Underdog Empowerment. Zach really believes in people who, you know, brand themselves and believe that they're underdogs and believes in the power of that. So in your opinion, like Zach, what is an underdog and why are you so attracted to this like mindset?
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And it's cool you're bringing up old stuff. Yeah, you met me when I when I was broke as a joke, trying to figure it out, right? Trying to make it happen. But yeah, it's cool to see you know, both our growth over the years. Underdog to me. So the whole reason why I came up with that branding is I was trying to figure out who I was at the time in my position in the marketplace. Like I left network marketing after I got out of prison after 2 years. And started to try and become a life coach. And Carla, I didn't make any money or anything because I didn't know anything about marketing. And, you know, I didn't have the skills or any of that developed yet. But that's what I was trying to do. And when I was finally getting my positioning dialed in, like, I was like, who am I? I was like, well, I'm an ex-convict. And I was like, well, that's in the past. Like, who am I? I was like, well, I'm an entrepreneur. I'm an underdog entrepreneur. And so I just ended up landing with that because I knew that everybody roots for the underdog. Uh-huh. And everybody is an underdog. If you think about it, if you're striving for something that you've never accomplished or achieved before, you know, it's, you're trying to do something you've never done before and it's, you're an underdog, and everybody can tap into that mentality. Everybody's felt like an underdog at some point in time in their life. Right. They felt counted out. They felt like people weren't, you know, taken seriously or whatnot. So, and I resonate with that. So I just roll with it. And, it was a lucky decision.
Right. I like that. I like that point about everyone feeling like an underdog in a way, and that's what motivates them. Because if you're at the top and you feel like you're the best, what is the point? What is the point of trying or working hard, right? Like if you're really at the top and at the best, what you're going to be doing is just probably going to be relaxing in like your laurels. But if we have the thing that really gives us a really good fire is if we feel like we still have to work towards something, or even like that old chip in your shoulder, like there's actually, it's not that, as long as it's not toxic, it's not that bad. So tell us a little bit more about like your experience in prison and, you know, growing up in these, like, you know, in juveniles and the story. What was the turning point for you? What was the moment when you decided to turn your life around?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad you asked that, and it kind of ties into kind of what we were just talking about, where you said, as long as it's not, it's good to pull onto that, you know, that energy, right? As long as it's not toxic. And that's I'm glad that you asked that, the follow-up question too, because that kind of gets into it. Because for me, that toxic energy, that underdog drive, that prove a motherfucker wrong thing, like that pulled me out of the depths of hell in prison to you know, being successful in business and turning my life around, right? But man, I got to a point, Carla, in at the end of 2020, we moved from the hood to a nice neighborhood, right? My daughter finally had a room big enough, a room to herself. She didn't sleep in our closet anymore. You know what I'm saying? Cause it's all the space we have for at the old house. You know what I mean? And, then I did a mastermind at Pensacola, Florida, this nice beach house, like 10 entrepreneurs from all the US came out. And the thing was, is like, I wasn't even happy. Like I literally did everything that they said I'd never do. And it still wasn't enough. I didn't feel like I was good enough. And that all stemmed from, you know, never feeling like I was good enough to be my mom's kid, or never feeling like, wow, I was good enough growing up. Everybody telling me that you'll never amount to nothing or whatever. And so that was like that toxic energy, if that's what you want to call it or whatnot. It was really unresolved trauma. Right. And, you know, it got me to where I was, but it wasn't getting me to where I'm going. And so I've done a lot of work the last few years on, doing a lot of personal work, but I'll say this, I still get fired up when people count me out, and I still pull on that energy, and I don't feel like it's a toxic energy. I feel like hey, it's a competitor's energy, a warrior spirit. Like, and I'm always going to be fiery and a warrior at heart. I'm just doing, you know, I try to do things with truth. You know what I mean? Nobody's perfect, but that's what I lead with.
Yeah.
I don't know if that answered the question.
Yeah, no, you did, because you said that at face value, to prove someone wrong seems like it's not the right motivation, but if it has gained a good home for you and your family, you have, because of that, you have helped so many people also fulfill their dreams. You don't know how many lives you could have saved. Some people are so close to being suicidal, right? And they just need like this extra voice to help them. And with all the free content you put out there, all of the stuff that you do, you don't know who you're affecting. And if you can do all of these things just because you had this little chip on your shoulder, then is it really bad, right? Like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? You know what
I know, and I swear I've literally had this conversation with Andy Frisilla, this same exact conversation with him when I went and interviewed him. Yeah. And we were talking about this exact thing. And it was like, I even followed it up on the second time in an interview, and I was like, bro, I know you said that, you know, you get to the point where it's not about proving them wrong, it's just about proving you right. And I was like, I just ain't there yet. And he's like, I don't think I am either. And I've done so much, like, I still got a lot of work, inner work and personal work to do, but I've done a lot of healing over the last few years. And, and I do have strong reasons why I do it that have nothing to do with external, it's my truth. Right. And the reasons why I do it, but I still thrive when people count me out, and, you know, so maybe I just haven't reached that level. Right. Or whatnot, but it's working right now and I'm still making progress. So I'm happy with it.
Yeah, no, I'm also not ashamed to say that I resonate with you. And, you know, maybe like at the end of the day, if you don't have ill intentions, and I also don't believe in, I'm going to probably get like canceled for this, but I also don't believe that forgiveness is totally like black and white virtue. I definitely had a high school bully, and I could say I have not exactly forgiven her. And sometimes I still think about her when I achieve something like a milestone in my life. And I think like, like I showed you, like, you know, like I showed you, here I am. And I knew that you probably didn't know that I'd get this far or something. I would have these thoughts and then I would feel bad. And then I would jokingly tell myself, oh, okay, well, I guess that's another topic for the therapy session. But then again, what has it brought me? It has brought me and my family security. I was able to pursue things that are aligned to the idea of greatness that I had in mind. I was able to donate to charity regularly. So if that is the thing that would make this happen, like that's kind of a limiting belief, but like, I'll take it, you know, like it's not ideal, but I'll take it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean,
and then you and I can probably just book our ayahuasca retreat for some time to deal with that.
You know, I was going to do one of those this month actually, and I ended up not doing it. I'm going to do one eventually when it's right, when the time's right, it's going to happen.
Yeah. I know, me too. I'm waiting for the moment. Cause I live in Mexico now and there's so many good healers out here. So many people come here for that. And the healers always told me, ayahuasca is kind of like a hell yeah or a hell no, like don't do it half-assed and don't do it because you need to be fixed. Like you have to be fully ready to receive it. And it's just what it is or something like that. So.
Yeah. I've heard very similar things like you're talking about. I've done MDMA assisted psychotherapy. So right now they got a 70% cure rate for PTSD in clinical trials with the MDMA. And so I did a whole bunch of research on this before I went and did it and had Dr. Dan Engel on my podcast. And we talked about it. He wrote the book, A Dose of Hope, where it talks about this therapy or whatnot. And I've done 4 sessions of it. And it's been, for me, speaking from my own personal experience, it's been the best thing I've ever done in my life. Cause like my whole life, all my childhood, I know like growing up in and out of juveniles, detention centers and psych wards or whatnot, like I was always in chaos, right? And that's like what was normal for me. And and I was always in a constant fight or fight response mode, and nervous system always on high alert and just whatever. Yeah. But I would do like drugs and put myself in real dangerous situations, you know, chasing that thrill. And then when I turned my life around, when I decided to move in the other direction, when I missed out on my twin son's birth for going back to prison, I was still doing the same shit. I was just doing positive stuff. I was going all in, building the business, working 16 to 18 hours, doing crazy shit, like getting a title loan on a Chrysler, asking to join a mastermind or whatever. But I still, it still was there, right? That stuff was still underneath the hood. Well, long story short, I did the MDMA and it really like cracked open the psyche and like brought a bunch of traumatic events and memories that I had forgotten all about because my ego was suppressing it, trying to protect me, but in the process really hurting me more than anything because those were so painful to deal with. Right. So it cracked those open, brings them up to the surface, allows me to feel all those emotions, the terrifying, the horror, whatever, and the fear and all that. But I'm able to get that shit up out of me. Right. And heal. And, it's been a best thing I've ever done. First time I've ever felt like I've had any release in my life. I've done all this other shit in my life and never got like a true release until then.
That's great. It's like puking, right? It's like, it's kind going of, to be painful, but it's going to be good for you. Like, just trust me on this. I'd be interested in taking something and doing something like that too. When I did, what was it? Like mushrooms, some sort of a therapy around psilocybin in Thailand. Some
microdosing?
It was definitely not micro.
Hero
macro dosing. I'm just kidding. I hope my sisters don't listen to my podcast. I hope my sisters don't support me. If you are related to my sisters or my sisters-in-laws, please just exit this podcast right now.
Disclaimer.
in Thailand, I remember I was just like going through like a difficult time in my life, and I sought out hypnosis, and I also was open to other things, and I tried it, and it brought out this really weird memory from when I was in my third grade, when I was there was this fat girl in my class, and I can still say fat, right? I'm not gonna get canceled. And then and then I was being mean to her by talking to my other friends and saying something like, did you see her legs? It looked like this piece of pork meat, this certain dish in the Philippines. And then I didn't know that she was behind me, and they were like, oh my gosh, she's behind you. And then I looked back and she was there, and I was just so guilty, and I just felt so bad. And I never thought about that moment in my life ever since third grade. And it brought up like when I was like doing mushrooms, it sounds so druggy, but like when I was in that, what do I have? Psilocybin assisted therapy. And then we processed it. And I think it was something like, I have a difficult time forgiving others because I also have a difficult time like forgiving myself or something like that. I did ask for her forgiveness. I was super guilty. Like I can't forget about like right now, if I can find her on social media, I will probably still apologize to her and try to like, I don't send her flowers or something, but it was definitely a moment in my childhood that was very hard to get over with. So do you recommend like, what do you recommend for underdogs as like good habits or habits to get over that feeling of I am below someone?
Yeah. Mm. All right. So I'm so glad that you asked that question because, dude, I'm not perfect and ain't nobody. Mm-hmm. Nobody has their shit together. Everybody has bad days and bad, mm-hmm. bad slumps or spurts or seasons or phases or whatever the hell you want to call it, right? Everybody's human, right? We go through it. But what I found is like when I find my flow in life, when things are just flowing, like there's no balance, but there's a flow to it. It's when I'm doing my daily disciplines, and I'm really like probably over the top for a lot of people when it comes to that. Like I'm super OCD, and I track everything. I track a lot of stuff like that, you know. But I got this little app though, and it's real simple. I put however many habits I want in there, and I could name them, and then I could just check them off, and it'll tell me the percentage for each habit of how often I do it, and it'll also tell me a percentage of the whole. And so for me, that's like playing right into human behavior, because you know we get a dopamine rush every time you check off and say that I did that. It's like, right. And at the same time, what does that do? It reinforces your identity of you are that person because you're doing that thing. And so you know, whenever I'm doing I have 30 something different habits on there. I never get all of them done in the same day, but I got my five non-negotiables because I got five little pillars. I call it mind, body, soul, relationships, finance. And I got one non-negotiable for each one of those. And as long as I get those five non-negotiables done every day, I feel good about myself, and everything else after that just stacks on it. And whenever you're doing your shit like that and taking care of yourself and doing the shit you need to be doing every day, even when you don't want to do it, like you become a strong, resilient, confident motherfucker because you're doing what you need to be doing.
I love that. So can you share the name of the app?
Yeah. It's a free app. It's super simple. I know for most of you are just listening, so you won't be able to see this, but it's the one in the top right. It's called Habit with a little check Habit. Mark.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah. It's just like, it looks, it's just called Habit, and it's pink or red, and it's got a little check mark on it, and you can go and customize it to your fitting. You can color code things and label them or whatever, so if you got different categories or whatnot, and you can order them of how they show up. It's cool. It just helps me out a lot. But yeah, doing that, I notice like anytime I'm in a funk, it's because I'm slacking on my daily disciplines, and anytime that I'm really in a flow and I'm really on top of that, and I notice that because I track it, and then I, you know, part of those habits is daily journal. And when I'm journaling and stuff, and I get to see where my head's at and what my emotions are, what my thoughts are during those phases when I'm not on my shit.
Yeah, no, I love that. I feel like developing habits is not really that easy, but it does get easier as you go, right? Like, oh, yeah. I think for you and I, it's normal. Like I've been going to the gym since 2017, almost every day. And it's just so easy. It's a part of my life now. If I don't go to the gym for like four straight days, that would just feel so wrong to me. When I pick hotels, I would pick a hotel with a gym. But when I was starting, every day to the gym was hard. I would always be looking at the clock. I'm not even 15 minutes in the elliptical. I'm already planning how many tacos I'm going to eat after. Like, it's just like, it was a struggle until it became like a part of me. And now I can't imagine life anything else. I think gamifying, that was what you're suggesting, right? Like, you have this tracker. I think Apple Watch does it too, right? Like, with your steps and all of that, and like your activity. I think that's also like a really good way to hack. So forming good habits is one good way for us underdogs to kind of remind ourselves that even though you call yourself an underdog, you're not like below someone, and you can rise above to the level that you want. We have a lot of people right now listening who are business owners and or wanting to start a business as aspiring business owners. What do you think will turn someone who believes themselves to be an underdog to turn into someone like really confident or like an alpha dog, like basically the other, you know, the other side of being an underdog?
Yeah. You know, there's so much that really goes into it. All I could do is speak on like how I truly feel about that. And how I feel about that is going back to what we were just talking about. For me, I got this little system that I run, and I'll just explain it real quickly. It's just three different phases. One, you know, you got to know what your end game is. What's your legacy? How do you want people to talk about you at your funeral? What kind of legacy you want to pass on to your kids? All this stuff, right? In detail. How do you want to die? What does that look like? All that. So that's your legacy, and that's your end game. Boom. Next thing is your goals and whatnot, your 10-year goals, your 5-year, 1-year, quarter, weekly, daily, you know, and those are like your targets. And then finally breaking it all the way down. All right. In order for me to be this person that I want everybody to talk about me like at my funeral, what do I need to do every single day to be that person? And you figure out that, and those are your daily habits. And when you run that system and you constantly, you know exactly where the fuck it is you're going, how you want your life to turn out, and you're doing the daily actions to do it, that's where that confidence comes from. That's the only place I know where to get that confidence from, honestly.
Right. So I like that. I like how you presented it, because it's like from the macro to the small. Like, you were like, what is your legacy? What legacy do you want to leave? What do you want people to talk about on your funeral? And then you said, well, then what are your goals? 10 years, 5 years, 2 years. And then what are your habits? These are like the daily things that we do. So I love that, you know, there is an easy way to kind of just map this all out. So I want you guys to really take note of that. That's really good advice, Zach. Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Because we've discussed that, I'm going to take a little bit of time here to ask you. I've really watched your journey, and it's super impressive, because I think I was kind of close to that and to that group where you took out a title loan out of your car, right?
We were kicking it in Taiwan.
Yeah, we were in Taiwan together, right?
Like, yeah.
March, when was that? 2018, I think. Yeah. So that was a time when you really like, I'm going to gamble on myself like big time. And so I wanted to take this little time to break the rules. And I want for you to just share one really, really big business learning that you have learned throughout the years. I've watched your journey. And from that moment in Taiwan to this moment today, there's really like a night and day difference. So if there was like one big learning that has helped you, what was it, so that all of our underdog entrepreneurs can also learn from it?
Man, so many, but like the overarching thing would be truth. That's my first core value. And that's, you know, doing the right thing, even when it's hard, leading with your truth. And before, you know, you've seen it, like I was trying to be something that I wasn't. Like I was trying to help people with business. I didn't even have my business going yet. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't make sense. And, when I stopped like holding back punches, just being real, completely real, speaking my truth, and, you know, doing the Slim Shady principle, all that shit, you know, just like bagging on myself. Right. People appreciate that. And that's allowed me to really build strong relationships with people online, with people I've never even met, but they just read my content or whatever, you know? And so that right there, just doing the right thing, even when it's hard, even like that could be anything. It could be, you know, letting someone on your team go that you know needs to go, that's holding the team back, but it's a good person you like, but you got to get rid of them. that's doing the right thing, you know, or whatever. Just leading with that has really, you know, gone a long way. Especially even with clients, you know, that like had to issue refunds and money was tight or whatever. We've done that plenty of times where it really was hurtful, but hey, that's the right thing to do, you know, and we do that. And it always comes back around,
right?
Maybe not right away, but it always does.
Right. I love that. There's a deep trust in the, you know, the universe or whatever you want to call it, right? Like God or nature, Mother Nature, whatever you want to call it. I feel like if you just tell your truth and if you're close to your truth and you're operating from your truth, that it's only going to be good for you. Jordan Peterson always said that the word depressed means like you need a deep rest from not being in your truth. And he actually said that the reason why a lot of people are depressed or are overly exhausted, like, you know, those moments when you're like, you only work like 4 hours today, but you're so tired. Mm-hmm. And he says that's usually because you're not living in your truth. Whereas if you're living in your truth, which is connected to doing what you love, helping people that you love, genuinely wanting the best for your clients and the people that you serve, it is not tiring because you're living in your truth.
Hell yeah, I couldn't agree with that more. And you already know, like when you're on that, when you're close to that purpose and that truth, you're on fire, right?
Yeah.
And I've experienced phases where I felt burnout or whatever you want to call it, where you felt disconnected from the reason why you started in the first place or whatnot. I mean, everybody does, but you know when you're on for sure.
Absolutely, your energy is different, your fire is different. And I think the trusting also helps, because if you don't live in your truth, then you also don't trust the things around you, because you don't even trust yourself, because you know, yeah, you're lying, you know? And so, and then other things get murky along the way. Whereas if you're close to your truth and you're serving, you know, with great fortitude and with the best interest, really wanting to help and doing away with these like sales tactics and, you know, and like trying to lie on social media. Like we've seen people do that, like fake, like Stripe screenshots. It's just, it's so meaningless. It's so meaningless.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think of the term fake it till you make it? Do you think that is a good mindset for an underdog to have?
Depends. I think it depends. I think it's good to like maybe pump yourself up and like and look in the mirror, even if you're like not like dominating business, and say, hey, you're a bad motherfucker. You can, you know what I'm saying? You're still telling yourself truth or whatnot. I think that part's cool, but faking it like you are successful and putting that image out and lying to people and to get a client or whatever, no, that's definitely not cool.
Right. Yeah, I think it's like affirmations and lying. Like if you listen to affirmations, let's say I'm a millionaire, I'm getting paid a lot for my talents. Like it's different from like literally like lying and posting a fake Stripe screenshot, you know. Yeah. I'm gonna tag the IRS. I should tag the IRS for people who do that.
For real. And then the you know, taking the pictures like you're showing off something that really ain't even yours, or you know, it's like, I don't know. I've done a really good so far this year. I haven't made one post talking shit on anybody or any of the behaviors that I don't. And I see it all the time. I see it all the time. But it's been like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on the stuff I do want, man. And focus on being 1% better. Because that shit, man, you pushed a hot button. That shit gets on my nerves, though. You know, when you see people faking it like that and taking advantage of other people.
Yeah, I know. They are. That's what they're doing. They're taking advantage of people. There's always people who are going to be new to the business, and they're going to be so vulnerable and so gullible on these things. What would you say is the most difficult part of the transition from kind of, in that moment when you're like, oh my gosh, I'm growing, and getting to your next milestone? So 6-figure business, 7-figure business, 8-figure business. When you're crossing these milestones, what do you think, where do you think things break in those moments?
That's a good question. So just full transparency. We're still scaling to seven. We haven't hit seven figures yet. We've been in the high six figures, so I can't really speak past any of that, you know, because I haven't been to that level yet. For me, I remember as soon as we started bringing stuff in, like I seen it ahead of time before we got to the six figures, was like, we need somebody that can help run operations really quick because I'm not that guy.
Right.
Yeah, and so I started like, you know, building a team soon, but it still was a fucking mess until, you know, until you learn those lessons by going through it, right? But I would say though, right around that six figure mark, I feel like a lot of entrepreneurs at that mark, they overwork themselves and they don't need to. I feel like everybody gets, once you start getting that success, because speaking from my own experience, for me, it was like, you know, doing without for so long and then bam, you get this success and you don't want to let that go. So you're just trying to go even harder and run the score up even further and get as far away from that place of scarcity that you used to be, right? But for me, like I overworked myself working 16 to 18 hours a day, 6 days a week for years, for the first 6 years of my son's life. And then in the beginning of 2021, I scaled it down from that to 16 hours to 20 hours a week and did that for nearly 2 years. I just bumped it back up. I'm working about 6 to 8 hours Monday through Friday now, normal hours. But what I'm trying to say is, as soon as you hit that six figure mark, you can literally work 4 hours a day in your business and still grow. I did it for a year and a half. So I proved that part. It's the mindset thing, honestly.
Yeah. And I totally am with you on that. And you're definitely preaching to the choir because I have a business in outsourcing and I run multiple businesses myself. And when people are like, how do you do that? Like you have two physical businesses that have been running since like 2011 and you still own them and you still somehow like monitor the sales and all that. Like, yeah. So I definitely believe in that dream or that ideal, you know, like that dream life that you don't have to overwork yourself in order to make as much money as you want. In fact, like Tim Ferriss figured it out in 2016, or I read the 4-hour Workweek for the first time. And I think a lot of location independent entrepreneurs also read it, you know, when it came out in like, I don't know, 2008, 2009, I forgot. But I'm actually rereading it again to just rekindle that fire. But it's definitely possible, you know, if you need a specific thing done, there's different ways to go about it. And you don't have to do all the work yourself. And of course, if you want to explore this in outsourcing, talk to me, find me on Facebook or Instagram. But, you know, even if you believe that you're an underdog, even if you, no matter where you grow up, no matter what your background is. I mean, look at Zach. He was like, grew up in juveniles, was in prison. He was like at the end of his rope, taking out a loan on his car to go to a mastermind, and he was able to like turn it around. So how much more for people who are way ahead of like Zach and I, right? Like there's no limits. There's no limits. So how does your family like deal with a transition of you, you know, having that life to the life now? I mean, I'm sure they're happy, but like, what were some things that other people could learn from?
Yeah. So like now, like it was for me, it was hard making that transition at first because like, I was feeling like guilty for like not having stuff to do or not working or whatever, because I was so used to that. So it was a little bit of a transit. Like the first 2 weeks was like a little transition period. But now though, like it doesn't matter how many fires are going on in the business or who, whatever. Like I don't care if you're not gonna die. We'll talk about it tomorrow, 4 p.m. Central Standard Time. I'm done. Like period. I don't care. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to dad mode. Y'all can wait. And just having that boundary and those parameters set in place makes it easier to make that shift every day. Cause dude, there's still times where I want to get more shit done. I'm driven more than most people I know. Honestly, like I got a fire inside. Like I want to get shit done. But for me, the whole picture is like the whole reason why I started down this journey was to be in my kid's life again. And then I wasn't doing it. You know what I mean? And you know, this is a whole nother tangent in and of itself, but I feel like a lot of people, those hyper hyper high achiever type entrepreneurs, you know, we're super fucking competitive, right? And that's just part of who we are. But I also believe that there's also some shit, you know, going, running a little system running in the background that we're unaware of underneath the hood of some unresolved traumas type that causes you to do that because you're constantly feeling like, for me, I always felt like I wasn't good enough and I would achieve a goal. It don't matter what the fuck it was in business, milestone after milestone, I'd feel good for all but 20 seconds and then I'd be like, what's next? It's not enough. What's next? And it was always what's next. And I never felt like it was good enough. And I never felt any type of sense of fulfillment, you know, and I was getting tired of just moving that goalpost and stuff. So now that I've started this personal work, I'm still driven and have huge fucking insanely driven goals and still work my ass off. But I got time. Like I got time to be a dad too and do other shit in my life.
Yeah, no, I love that. I love that you mentioned that. What you mentioned was like, I think my therapist called it like hypervigilance. When you feel like you have to work more to be loved or something like that. And it's tied to that. And I was actually just talking about this to another podcast earlier. But when I was growing up, my parents really put a lot of emphasis in achievement and their belief that I could do anything to a point that if I lose at something or I'm bad at something, I'd feel so bad. If I do good at something, my parents are like, yeah, of course, because you're Carla. Yeah, you learn how to read a 2. You're like, of course you're going to win this thing. But if I lose it, I feel so bad. I remember when I failed calculus, my mom was just so mad. And so the high is not even high enough, but the low is so low. And then sometimes that happens. And with what you shared, hypervigilance, and you feel like you need to work hard and overwork yourself, sometimes feeling like in order to be loved or accepted or to be a good husband or a good father, it's not like, it's like your identity is tied to the money that you make, and then you forget these other things that are not related to money, which is actually the reason that you're trying to make the money, right? Like what you shared, like parenthood, like, you know, being a good dad, or even self-work. Like, we forget to take care of ourselves because we put like other people first. Did you experience that?
A lot of that. So like, and everybody has like their own shit specifically. For me, like a big one for me was like, when my mom put me in a psych ward when I was 9, that was before the court system or ever got their hands on me. Right. And she put me in there, in rehab, you know, cause I was smoking weed and wouldn't go to school. And she thought, yeah, I was a problem child. But, you know, she was doing that, you know, thinking that that was what was good for me. She was trying to help me, right? She wasn't like trying to like traumatize me and shit. But what that did was, is it told me that my mom doesn't give a fuck about me. She's throwing me off to this place, you know, and just giving up on me and throwing me to the wolves. I got in a fight in there and then got put into the psych ward, and she agreed to putting me in there for 5 days. Whole time in there, I felt like I was going to die. Like seriously thought I was going to die 24/7 in there, 9 years old. Wow. Seen some crazy, crazy shit. And, you know, that, so I didn't feel like I was good enough to be her son. All throughout school, everything, I was always told that I was a fuck up and that I was going nowhere in life. And didn't have a dad or a father figure and stuff. So like, that was like what I was conditioned with and like, you know, or whatnot. And so for me, that's why I was such a hyper achiever. The whole reason why I started Underdog Empowerment, prove a motherfucker wrong thing, was because I felt like I wasn't good enough. Like I was inadequate and that I had to do all this extra stuff, like you said, to feel loved, to feel accepted or whatnot by other people and shit.
Yeah. Wow. That's definitely heavy. It's like, you know that these people have good intentions, like, you know, my parents, but people are just so uneducated about, you know, trauma in general. And I'm happy that we are now with the internet, you know, talking more about it. We're more mindful. Like if I, you know, people talking about like, Carla, when are you going to have kids? Like, you know, I think if I had kids when I was 25, when I was definitely mature, and made less money, I would probably fuck the child up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's better that I'm learning these things now and all these like psych buzzwords, and I'm more mindful of how I live my life. So Like, it's really what you do with what you have in the moment, right? Like, people may not have the same background as you or the same experience. Like, that's just crazy. Psych ward at 9, like, prison, like, that's just really, really crazy. But they don't have to, like, go through that in order to develop good habits and in order to decide to turn their life around. I'm going to ask you about something that I'm curious about because I'm in the outsourcing industry, and we're always, you know, the magic of what we do really lies in the beginning of our contract with the clients, where we talk to them and we recruit, match, verify, and onboard their new virtual assistant, project manager, whatever they need. So you, as a business owner, you have experience hiring people. Would you hire an underdog or hire someone who identifies as an underdog, and why or why not?
Absolutely. I wouldn't hire just anybody, right? But you know, if I feel like, you know, they align with our core values and that they're the real deal Holyfield, absolutely. You know, I've done it. I mean, shit, you got us hooked up with our first Roella that's still with us, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Years later, you know?
Yeah.
So absolutely, you know, those are actually the people I found out to be the best team members in the first place a lot of times.
So is it more of like a gut feel to you and, or a bias or something?
Yeah, I'm a gut feel kind of guy. I know there's a lot of people that like to do like these tests and these whatever, and those are cool and they're really helpful. I don't understand them enough to really run them, but like, I know that there's like psychological tests that kind of show you where that person would fit as far as like an integrator type or visionary, and that stuff's cool. But mm-hmm. I like to just talk with people and just feel them out, you know, because let's be honest, man, that gut feeling, that's your second brain for real. And I don't know of a time where I've had a gut feeling that it's been wrong. Like, the only time it's been wrong is when I didn't listen to my gut feeling. You know what I mean? Like, I've never like listened to my gut and been wrong.
Right. Right.
So that's why I like to go with it.
Yeah. I think there are people who are more in tune with their intuition, and there are people who are not. For me, I'm not that kind of person who says that trust your gut. I definitely need the numbers. However, I would say my gut never fires up unless it's really dangerous or something like that. Like, for example, if I'm hiring and there'd be three people who pass the test, so they all pass the test, but my gut says this one person is wrong, I'll just kick that person out because there's these two other people who pass the test anyway. But if that person is extremely superior in the tests, but and then the other two are mediocre, but that person, something just tells me something's wrong, I would probably have a hard time like deciding, because my gut has been wrong many times because I play poker. And even if I try, you start playing too, right? You start playing poker.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just bought a nice table. We got to have you come out sometime when we run a game.
I know. Yes. But I'll probably deal for the first night and see how all of you play. And then I'm just kidding. And then I get the tips, and then all of you will, I'll play against all of you the next day, because after I know how all of you play.
You'd be doing all those slick dealer tricks too. I'll have to keep an eye on you.
Yeah. You pay me $500, I'll give you pocket queens. So in poker, I would like, I'm going to listen to my gut. I'm going to fold this one, or I'm going to race on this one, but I didn't see my card yet. And it's always like 50-50. So I have like a mixed feeling of like trusting my gut thing. However, most of the time, if it's an alarm, it is usually correct. If it's not an alarm, if it's just this or that, I think it's 50-50. So I like that. I like what you shared, that you definitely will hire underdogs or people who identify as underdogs and not just people who are rah, 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 I'm awesome. Because it's more in tune with how much you know your business. I think that's it too. Because you're so close to your business, right? You work on it and in it every day.
Yep, I'm still working in it. I'm a lot less out of it now than what I was when I started, obviously. But yeah, I still work in it. I like to, you know, I like to, because I run a mastermind, and I tried the whole like removing myself from as much as possible, and I have in a lot of departments, but with the mastermind specifically, I like running that group because people are joining it for, they want to work with me. You know what I'm saying? Right. And the system that I created. And when I'm close to it and I get to talk with these people and get to ask them specific questions of what they're struggling on, they give me direct feedback. And then it just, I'm able to create the shit that helps them. And then I use that in my marketing to bring in more people.
Yeah, that's right. No, I think that's the power of proper scaling, you know, outsourcing, delegating, is that it's not really to take you out. It's choice. It's the power of choice, choosing what you want to do. The reason why you started that business, there is a part of that business that you like doing, right? Whether it's talking to clients or even if you're a big nerd and you just want to do the books. I have a friend in my other mastermind group. They're business partners. One guy is an accountant and the other guy is a lawyer, and both roles sound kind of boring, but they actually both really love what they do. Like the accounting guy really loves what he does. Like he gets a boner when he hears the word like ledger, probably, or something like
that. Got to, right?
yeah. And then like balance sheet. Oh my God. And his nipples turn hard. And the other guy is just like attorney AF. And you know what? I hope they're not listening to this. They both dress the part too. They definitely look like an attorney and an accountant, and they're so in it and they love that part of their business. And so, you know, the reason why people start businesses, there's something in it that they love. So there's no shame in working in and on your business at the same time. And that's fine. Okay. So before we leave and end this super amazing conversation, thank you so much, Zach, for giving me your time. I want people to find you, find out how they can work with you. And I think you have an event and I'm really excited for that. I think I'm gonna gate crash and start dealing at the poker table at your event. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. I appreciate you asking. Definitely. Best place to find me is underdogempowerment.com. I got the podcast on there, Underdog Empowerment. All my social media is on there. Alpha Dog Pound Live, that's on that page too for the event. If you want to come check that out. Need help with a podcast, launching it or growing it, it's all right there on underdogempowerment.com.
Right. So if you guys are interested in growing your business through a podcast, if you need high-level advice in dealing with these business milestones, if you want to learn from a group of people who are just smart, who has helped not just Zach, but other people that Zach trusts in how they made these jumps in business, definitely consider going to Alpha Dog Pound Live. That's the name of the event, right? And when is it and where is it?
Yep, July 14th, 2023, all day event in St. Louis, Missouri. I got some big names that are coming to it that I'll be announcing here over the next 2 months. And nice. Yeah, really excited about it, building up to it all year.
Perfect. Oh my God, that's exciting. So definitely, guys, follow Zach Babcock on Facebook and check out his website, underdogempowerment.com. He also has a lot of like really, really good resources. Get on his email list to just kind of be updated with what he and his team does, you know, throughout the year. There's definitely a lot to learn, a lot of inspirational, motivational content, but not just that. There's actual business stuff that needs to work on, especially if you're interested in starting a podcast that will cement your name in the industry. I tell you, I'm really not lying. Zach's not paying me for this. We don't have an affiliate deal, but Zach has helped me and inspired me a lot in starting this podcast. And I actually, okay, I'm going to share this. I actually got my first paid lead from this podcast on the fourth episode.
Nice.
Yeah.
So that's, we do need crazy. To shoot you some affiliate money. Get you signed up and start plugging that on every episode.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, guys, definitely check it out. Zach's the real deal. And so thank you so much, Zach, for hanging with us here and wishing you the best. And I'll see you around.
Thank you so much, Carla. I had a blast today.
Thank you. And thank you guys for yet another episode of None of Your Business. See you next Monday. Bye. So it's a wrap. To my entrepreneur friends, I hope that you found this episode interesting and enjoyable. I know I did. Big thanks to our sponsor, Proximity Outsourcing, for making this possible. If you need to outsource anything in your business so you can scale fast and easy, visit proximityoutsourcing.com and check out their solutions.
If there's any topic that you want to request, feel free to reach out. I only have two conditions. You tell me why you find it interesting, and you promise it's not business talk. Find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and YouTube, and leave us a comment or review because you're cool like that. This is your host, Carla, and thank you so much for joining me. Thank you for your interest in fun stories. Now we can get back to business. See you next week. And remember, everything here is none of your business.